DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane. Today on Inside the FLX, we are exploring the health of higher education in the Finger Lakes with a leader from one institution that's seen some positive news in recent weeks. You may have heard Northeast College in Seneca Falls is expanding, adding new programs and diversifying its offerings for students. Dr. Michael Meston, president of Northeast College, joins me in studio to talk about that news and much more. Doctor, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's get right into it. What's new for 2024? What can folks expect to see out at Northeast this fall?
Well, we just received notification from the state of New York on a charter change, which allows us to offer undergraduate degrees. And so with that, we've been working the last couple years on developing a certificate in massage therapy, also a full bachelor's degree in healthcare administration, also an associate's degree in radiologic technology, and also an associate's degree in medical sonography. This is a really big deal for us, and we're getting ready to launch these. They're currently on our website. We are accepting applications for fall classes. We have been really a graduate institution for about 105 years. Yeah. So this is certainly pretty exciting for us.
Walk me through the why, how you guys got to the point of wanting to take this on, and then also why the programs that you guys ultimately chose.
Okay, that's good. We ultimately put together a strategic plan back in 2018, and with that, we launched it actually in 2018. We were putting it together in 2017, and we said, hey, we're getting ready to turn 100 years old. What do we want to be when we grow up kind of thing? And so we wanted to plan for the next 100 years and roll something out, and we really thought that we wanted to expand our footprint in health sciences and healthcare education. We certainly had the facilities, we had the reputation for a world-class chiropractic program, and we thought we certainly could do the same thing in other fields. And so with that, we put together a committee that's typical in higher education, and then we asked our stakeholders what they thought. We asked our alumni, our faculty, our staff, and a variety of other groups like that. And then we also went out and did a market analysis of What were companies looking for in the state of New York for hiring individuals, and what kind of a stretch would that be for us to offer those programs? In addition to that, what kind of earning potential would those graduates have, and would there be a good return on investment for them to go into the workforce with those programs? So with that, we narrowed it down. We really saw a big need, especially here in the Finger Lakes region. With entry-level healthcare fields, that's really how we established those specific programs, and they're also very high demand.
One of the questions that I think a lot of folks are going to have about this is, what kind of enrollment boost would you be expecting with this type of what feels like first step into something much different than what you guys have been in, historically speaking?
And this is certainly a new space for us. And we're looking to take in smaller classes in the beginning. We certainly want to wade in slowly. While we certainly have a reputation for a world-class chiropractic program, we certainly don't have a reputation just yet on some of these other programs. So we're looking to take in 20, 25 students, especially with the hands-on rad tech and medical sonography coursework. The bachelor degree in healthcare administration is fully online, so there is a little bit more of a capacity with that. with the student ratio, student-teacher ratios, and a variety of other parameters like that. So,
feels like a first step. Is that sort of how you guys envisioned this to kind of eventually perhaps branch out more, you know, when you look kind of like 5, 10, 15 years down the line?
Oh, absolutely. The strategic plan that we rolled out, this is certainly, it indicates that this is a first step for us. We also have a physician's assistant program that we've already been granted initial accreditation site visit in 2025. That is something that we're looking at and progressing with. In addition to that, we also have some other programs that we're looking at in early development and doing that same analysis. Not only does it make sense for us as an organization, but also is there a need, and in addition to that, is there a good return on investment for the students? In addition to these things, we are also expanding into the Long Island market, specifically with our chiropractic program. As you may know, we originally came from Manhattan, then moved to Long Island, and then now here to the Finger Lakes region, and we've been here for over 33 years. But it's always been that we certainly have connections still in Long Island. We own a building there, and we have for many years. So we are also launching a chiropractic program in the Long Island area, and we've actually started constructing elements of that branch campus just last week. So,
as you were going through, your team was going through doing the market analysis, trying to figure out what programs to include, what were you hearing from folks in healthcare, specifically across the region? You mentioned the workforce needs. Mm-hmm. You know, what were some of the things that you were hearing from the local stakeholders that really solidified it for you guys that this was definitely the right direction to go?
Well, specifically, a lot of the conversations were informal, where certainly if I was at my dentist, I heard dental hygienists were in great need, or a variety of other fields that were big turnover. Maybe they were high stress and in great needs. You know, rural healthcare is a significant issue to tackle in the Finger Lakes region, since most of it is rural. And primary care, without a doubt, has always come up as a big question with that. And that's one of the reasons why we certainly felt it wasn't too big of a stretch for us to offer a physician's assistant program or a nurse practitioner maybe down the line. That's certainly something that we, you know, are looking at. But it's, you know, individuals that can provide that needed service in healthcare is basically what resonated very loudly.
The timeline is fascinating to me because it's almost as if you guys were identifying needs before they really became abundantly clear in like the 2020 to 2022 window. Walk me through that timeline of just how, you know, you guys are having these conversations, I would imagine, you know, not just 2017, but probably 2016 a little bit too. And then, you know, a plan is put together in 2018 and then, you know, things really accelerate in terms of demand in healthcare. Just a couple of years later, what was that like in terms of, did it affect any of those plans? Did it make you guys think about going back to the drawing board at any point, or was it just full steam ahead, we got this?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is an institution being, you know, over 105 years old, we are tightly coupled to our tradition as a single-purpose institution. And I think more than anything, that the biggest hurdles that we had to overcome was ourselves, is that are we ready to change? And change is scary to a lot of people and organizations, and especially if you've been doing the same thing, you know, for 35 years in your job and you know, like, well, I don't know. And not only that, us entering into an undergraduate market, there's a lot of different rules and regulations. You're talking about students who are much younger. So really, it was more things that we need to look internally to. But I will tell you that you caught up on the time frame. There was a pandemic in there, and we really had to put everything on hold, and we really went into kind of containment mode, no pun intended, and everything was put on hold. And as a matter of fact, our name change was almost 9 months to a year after when we actually anticipated it happening because of the pandemic. So there was a lot of things like that. We, You know, healthcare for many years has been a growing field, and not only as a profession itself, but also for educators who want to prepare people for that type of career. You know, people in the United States are very serious, and they should be, about their health and wellness. And so with that, you need providers that can help people along that pathway.
Yeah. When you think about contextualizing this a little bit, when you think about the health of Northeast today mm-hmm. versus what the Cairo College was a decade or two decades ago, what stands out to you? What is that health grade like to today's standard?
In comparing ourselves to where we were, we certainly had the mindset of as a Cairo College, and I appreciate you saying that, because I really do think that everyone in the region, that's our name, yeah. You know. So it's yeah. You know, whatever it was before and whatever it is now, we're still affectionately, and I look at it as affectionately, the Cairo College. But yeah. You know, so with that, it really is something that. You know, as you look at things, you know, what is our economic engine? What is our reputation? What are we best known for? What do we do the best at? You know, at that time, it was chiropractic education, without a doubt. With that, it's going to take us a little bit, but I think that we'll also apply those same desires for excellence into these new programs. We've hired top-notch program directors that are leaders in their own fields, and so we're hoping to match that as yeah. we go forward.
When you think about this expansion, you mentioned not a tremendous influx of students coming in, and obviously some remote education happening there, but when you think about the campus itself and any infrastructure or facility needs that may come up in the coming years with this change, mm-hmm. anything come to mind, or is that part of the plan and kind of what you guys are watching over the next 3 to 5?
Yeah, well, we certainly have space to grow. I mean, we're almost on 300 acres right on Cayuga Lake. And so I'm going to address that quickly, is that we actually, you know, have enjoyed a large campus, and it had a golf course on it and a lot of other things. And, you know, golf itself, you know, is not as popular as it once was. And so, you know, we don't have the golf course anymore, but we still have the space. So a big part of our strategic growth is, what are we going to do with this extra space? Now, we certainly have room to grow, to put a building for academic purposes or dorms or whatever it is. But we are working with a architectural firm it's going to take about a year to develop a master plan to look at these spaces and figure out what would be best, not only for us, but for community needs. But, you know, as far as our growth academically, we also believe in strong partnerships. So the programs are partnering with area healthcare facilities, hospitals, veteran administration facilities to provide hands-on education for the students. So, you know, for an example, like the Rad Tech program, they'll do their general education coursework online, and they'll do some coursework on campus, but then a lot of it will be in hospitals hands-on. So there's not a big need for us to grow from a building perspective and all that, but there's certainly things that we look at, yeah.
What has the feedback been like so far in the immediate area, Seneca Falls, Seneca County, two added programs, mm-hmm. potentially more students in and out? I would imagine it's been positive, but I'm just curious what that feedback has been like.
It's been very positive, yeah. And, you know, we've been here 33 some odd years, but yet, you know, we've been elsewhere longer. And so, you know, I've lived here 20 some odd years. You know, it's one of those things that when you come in from somewhere else, it's always this kind of watchful waiting to see what happens. And so I think that one of the overwhelmingly positive responses that we've received is that now are starting to grow roots in the area, and we're starting to interact in the area to serve the area even more so. With our chiropractic program, the vast majority of our students did not come from this area. They would come from Long Island, they would come from Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Jersey. And so now we are actually looking to form partnerships with high schools, with area healthcare facilities. And so with that, me personally, I feel like we are doing more for the region than we ever have, other than the economic footprint that we had. Now we're actually becoming more integrated, and I think that people realize that, because it's amazing how many people have come up to me and said, oh, you know, I have a niece, a cousin, or a friend that is looking to be a rad tech, or this or that, or, and so that's pretty refreshing, actually.
When I think about Seneca Falls and the relationship to the college, and I think about some other communities that have colleges in them, it seems like Seneca Falls doesn't quite have that college town connection to it, despite the fact that I think you guys as an institution is as well ingrained as any of the other colleges that are around us. When you think about that, is that something that just should, in theory, improve as time continues to go on? Or do you think the steps that you're taking now are really going to make a big impact there?
It's going to be a big impact, but as you said, it'll be over time. You're right. You know, I sometimes I fondly have memories of watching Animal House, of all movies, you know, about how integrated some of these undergraduate liberal arts schools are with their community. And certainly throughout our region, you see a lot of smaller liberal arts colleges entwined with their local communities. And because most of our students don't come from here, there's, you know, even earlier on, there was some friction. But I do see it improving, because a lot of the students that we are going to be seeing coming into these new programs will be from the region.
Yeah. When you look around at other institutions across not just the immediate area, but the region and upstate New York as a whole, obviously we hear a lot about declining enrollment. When you see declining enrollment at different institutions, given that you're in the administrative leadership role at an institution, what do you see as like the big one or two drivers of that?
Well, I think that one of the biggest drivers is a demographic shift, and specifically in our region of the United States, in New York and in particular, people are choosing to move elsewhere for whatever reason that is. And certainly that's been going on for a long time, but the pandemic accelerated that. Because I guess at some point in time, people said, well, you know, if I can be anywhere, this is where I'd be, and then they go. And especially with the remote work, there was a lot of incentive to move. So with that, there's now just less people, and that's a big issue. The other big issue that's driving enrollment is just the overall attitudes of higher education and the value of higher education now. Certainly, back in the day, there was this need for higher education, not only to educate people to be active participants in a healthy democracy with a liberal arts undergraduate education, but there also, you know, secondly, almost, it would be to prepare you for a job. And as time has moved on, and higher education has been politicized to a certain extent, you know, people are really wondering, well, do I want to spend that for that type of job? And what's my return on investment, you know, with higher education? In addition to that, wouldn't I rather just go do X, Y, or Z rather than investing, you know, the time and money and energy into higher education? So those are significant factors right now. And certainly that is one of the impetuses of us evolving, if you will, as an organization to broaden our reach, also to serve a broader community of individuals who want to go and pursue a career. So that's why we have a lot of these that are just 2 years.
Yeah.
And we're on trimesters too. We're not on semesters. So a lot of these things traditionally would be 2 years. You know, they're only like a year and a half for us. Or you can get a full bachelor's degree in 3 years versus 4 years. So.
I'm glad you mentioned evolving, because that was one of the things that popped into my head when I was preparing for this. Was it seems like when you look at commentary on higher education, the lack of evolution over the last 20 years, the lack of adapting in higher education is at least something that's contributed partly to the perception of the decline of higher education. Is that just the reality of a large institution and it is difficult to make big changes? Or having gone through it, is it just not, you know, innovative leaders like yourself and your team, you know, not a lot of you guys being able to say, look, we need to make these changes. We got to do it. And executing on that.
Yeah, that's that is very difficult. And once again, like I said, with the changes that we had to go through our organization, it's higher education is just, it's just in love with tradition, you know? And with that, I mean, a lot of times you see, you know, the for-profits or some very creative higher education institutions that really are looking about serving the student in such a capacity, no matter where they are. Instead of saying, hey, you need to come to our campus and have this experience, they're just saying, okay, we'll deliver you the education and no matter where you are. And with that, I mean, we're kind of following suit to a certain extent that our bachelor's in healthcare administration is asynchronous. So with that, you don't have to log in at a specific time or listen to a talking head. I mean, that's something that you can do on your own time because people now, you know, they value their time and how they want to allocate, you know, how they use that time is very important. But change is very difficult. And now in this environment, especially in our portion of the United States, you need to change. There's no doubt about that. You need to evolve. You need to listen to your potential students. I hate to call them customers, but ultimately that's, you know, to a certain extent they are. So, but
let's shift gears. When you look around higher education present day, what's something that really makes you excited? Something good that's happening out there that you're like, this is good for everybody.
I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing right now that that really excites me is the collaboration and the strategic partnerships that are developing. That where, you know, if you enter into a program that allows you to have a lot of experiences that you may not. Have normally had. And I think that in particular, institutions are looking about how they can do things and offer the same sort of excellence, at a reduced cost or less cost, less time, less structure. There's a lot of things now that technology has brought about that is really a big game changer, no doubt about that.
Yeah, speaking of artificial intelligence. I mentioned to you that I wanted to talk about this because it's everywhere and it's in every space, right? When you see artificial intelligence, what do you see, what role do you see it playing in not just higher education, but in the health space that you guys are in over the next 5, 10, maybe 20 years?
Well, I think early on, which I'm going to still say that we're early on, a lot of it is some of the grunt work, I'm going to say, quote unquote, that or bureaucratic work, however you want to look at that, is, you know, and for in healthcare, you know, there's certainly opportunities that if you have to generate a lot of notes or a lot of documentation, you know, within certain limits, that certainly could make your work a lot easier, no doubt about that. And something that may have taken you, you know, several hours may now take you a lot less, and you can do other things. But I think in the future, as this starts to evolve, and certainly where they're pushing this to a certain extent, is they, I guess they want artificial intelligence, and there seems to be a place for it in more strategic decision-making. So, you know, maybe if I've gotten my way forward machine, if you will, and I, 20 years from now, maybe our strategic planning process may certainly could be headed up by, you know, an AI unit that, you know, that does all those things that I mentioned that we did as humans, but they know that those are the logical steps and will take us through them and could quite possibly even reach out to those stakeholders, you know. And then, you know, even further beyond that, I mean, you know, that's the scary part. We just don't know. And I think as human beings, you know, we tend to be a little bit afraid of what we don't know. And certainly we have years and years of science fiction writing movies and a variety of other things behind us that certainly puts plenty of fear into us. So it's one of those things. I think we need to be comfortable with the uncertainty that this offers. And with that, once we become comfortable with it and we feel safe as human beings, that are not we're not creating our own extinction, that we'll be creative about how we use it.
Yeah. When it comes to making education more efficient, Do you think that's one area where there's probably going to be some sort of advancement in the coming years?
I think so. I think it's already here, actually, in many cases. I shared with you before we started, there's certain educational learning apps that certainly have an AI component to it that where, as an individual, maybe I don't have a study group or I choose not to be in a study group, you certainly can go and use AI to help you review materials. As a matter of fact, even interact with you almost on a lower level, though, as a human being would, to help you prepare for whatever experience or test that, you know, you need to be able to do. So,
but you view it largely as a positive and as something that, if managed appropriately mm-hmm. at all levels, can be a net positive for higher education.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Crystal ball time.
Okay.
When you fast forward 25 years and you think about Northeast, what do you see?
Well, I see a College of Health Sciences that has an excellent reputation in graduating students that are fully prepared for the workforce. And not only that, these individuals go on to become leaders in their fields. I also see many more programs. I see collaborations with local entities that would help the region. I also see that, you know, we still have an excellent chiropractic program. I also see it being offered in different ways, different locations. As I mentioned, you know, the demands that the future student is going to have about how they allocate their time and what other technologies available is going to be just incredible. And I think that it's exploding in such a way that it's incomprehensible for us to actually envision what that would be. But I'm sure we'll be involved in it.
Yeah. When you think about one of the criticisms of higher education in general is the cost, right? That just how it's inflated over the last 10, 15 years. I've always been curious, especially in the last few years, as everything has gone to a subscription model, how that has seemed to completely avoid the higher education space. I am shocked that it isn't especially when you consider the fact that so many programs include some element of continued education after completion of a degree program, mm-hmm. How that hasn't happened yet. Has that ever crossed your mind, or is that anything that's ever been on your radar in terms of how that cost be maybe spread out a little more favorably for students in the future?
Well, traditionally higher education has been very human dominated, and with that, humans need to have a competitive compensation, and like everyone else, that goes up every year. I mean, you want a cost of living adjustment, hopefully, right? You know, until the day that higher education says we don't need that one-on-one mentoring or that human interaction, and there's certainly spaces that where there's room to scale, like online education, mm-hmm. Especially asynchronous, where you don't necessarily have to have the same professor to student ratios. But the education's different. And in particular, with healthcare and health sciences, a lot of that's hands-on. You know, to the day that we can use AI to take an X-ray in a hospital or do an ultrasound, I mean, you know, you're still going to need to have a person there, and they're still going to have to interact with another person. So anytime we have that sort of scenario, there's always going to be a cost associated with that. There's certainly coursework that is less costly, so to speak. But with that, you know, then is there, a sacrifice in the quality or the excellence that you would deliver with that? I don't know. There are certainly people that are looking into developing those sorts of models, and some have been varying successes. So,
yeah. Where can folks learn more about the programs you guys are stepping into, and perhaps any of the students out there that are listening, juniors, seniors, who are thinking about this as a future for themselves? Where can they learn more?
Well, in particular, we're having a big ribbon cutting, opening up our imaging suite. We also have a digital anatomy lab that we just opened. It's going to be part of this ribbon cutting. We affectionately call it the CARL. This stands for a Computerized Anatomy Resource Laboratory. And so with that, on February 13th at 12 o'clock at the entry of our anatomy center, We're having a big ribbon cutting. So we're inviting everybody. So anyone out there that's watching this, you're certainly invited, certainly potential individuals who want to have a career in one of these fields, or you're just curious, stop on by. The other place, obviously, is our website, which is www.northeastcollege.edu, and it has a full listing of our programs, and certainly if you're in the area and you just want to stop by, we'll certainly accommodate you with a tour and show you what we have.
Dr. Mustin, appreciate the time. Thanks for taking it today.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for this edition of Inside the FLX. We thank Dr. Mustin for his time, and of course, each and every one of you for listening or watching. For archived episodes, you can find Inside the FLX on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the iHeartRadio app. For everyone here at FingerLakes1.com, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.